The cutter was dead in space, no more than a day away from the mining colony, Terence. I found it ironic that my life would end so close to where it had begun some 20 years ago. The end wasn't hard to accept, and I was grateful it would come peacefully. I looked into the bunk room turned brig at my three prisoners, all awake and wanting attention. It was easy to ignore them. For the last 18 months, I'd been their prisoner and shown no mercy. They could face their own deaths tied up with full bellies. It was more than they had offered me. I made my way to the bridge of the 30-meter-long ship, kicking debris out of the way. I empathized with the ship. Pirates had used it, abused it, and left it torn and dirty. They had passed through, taking and ruining whatever they touched, discarding both of us when their abuses made us no longer pretty. I would die with this ship. It seemed fitting. The armor glass of the bridge was separated by a spiderweb of mullions, giving the pilot and co-pilot a nearly 180-degree view of space. I dropped heavily into the pilot's chair on the port side of the bridge and caught a reflection of myself in the glass. I'd been told how pretty I was all my life. It made me laugh humorlessly to see hollow cheeks and a large scar that cut across my right eye. My once long, silky brown hair was now prematurely white. It had been cut short and hung limply just to my jawline. Pretty was something that could be stolen, like so many other things. Liam Hoffman's retreating figure arc-jetted its way back to a nearly identical, albeit better repaired version of the cutter I sat in. He waited patiently for the airlock to cycle and then let himself into his ship, Stara's gift. Hoffman had promised to send me the command codes for the ship I sat in once he was out of weapons range, but I knew better. Men had been making promises to me for far too long. Somehow it made them feel better to lie. I'd learned that men were even crueler, however, if I pointed that out. Stara's gift's engines lit up. It turned and accelerated quickly on a new heading. I wondered how long I'd be able to survive on this ship. There was plenty of food, and the Atmo would likely hold for quite some time. Maybe another ship would happen by. Hope is for someone else, I thought. It was completely unexpected when I heard Liam Hoffman's voice hail me through the bridge comms.
Selena, are you there?
He hadn't seemed the type to gloat, but nothing really surprised me when it came to men.
Where else? I replied.
Hoffman's voice came clear over the bridge's public address.
Transfer full control of cutter to Selena Dontel. Release control by crew of Stara's gift of same cutter.
The disembodied voice of the ship's artificial intelligence replied.
Acknowledged. Control transferred to Selena Dontel.
That's it. Ship is yours. Happy sailing.
His voice was cheerful and upbeat. I was taken aback. The small ember of hope I carried, protected almost entirely by self-loathing, flamed up unexpectedly and threatened to overwhelm me. My voice caught as I responded.
I didn't think you would actually do it.
Roger that, Selena. Look us up sometime. I bet we will be looking for sharp captains in the future. You know, once I get my business running full tilt.
He was clearly enjoying himself. Thank you, Liam Hoffman. Someday, maybe. Dontel out. I closed the communication channel. I walked to the back of the cutter, to a door opposite the hall leading to the airlock. The door opened to an armory just beneath the ship's single turret. I placed the palm of my hand on the panel next to the door, which showed a red lock indicator, and felt a vibration as mechanical bars retracted. The door slowly pushed inward and stopped at 5 centimeters. I had to press with both hands to open it enough for me to enter. The walls of the small room were covered with shelves. I was very familiar with the room, as it was often my duty to load those shelves with slug thrower ammunition for the turret. When Alexander Boyarov was in an especially vile mood, he'd turn up the gravity in the ship to make it harder for me to load. He'd laugh cruelly and then berate me when I dropped the crates, sometimes using it as an excuse to beat me. I grabbed a blaster rifle from its cradle. As soon as my right hand closed around the rifle's grip, the face shield of my vac suit raised. The AI projected a heads-up display, HUD, onto my retina from my suit's helmet. Colt 2601L, displayed on the right side of the HUD, with a translucent gauge showing 100%. The weapon was at full charge.